All right, Chairman Brad Holton, I'll bring the meeting to order. We have a 10:30 agenda item for general DSD business. And so with that, take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, commissioners. Pleasure to be here. Today, we are going to talk about one last time, and for the end of all time, our solution to parcel inquiry issues. You're going to see that word twice more, and then never again. Promise. Anyways, what we asked Carl to do was to work on a PowerPoint that steps through how we're going to solve that process and make that go away and change the way that we provide the customer service with regard to individual parcel questions, entitlement wise versus just setbacks, floodplain, those types of simple questions. He can step through these. He'll show you examples of the questions that are asked to us, and then we push them one way or the other. We'll also talk about the fees we anticipate or the deposit in one regard or flat for another, but it's all customer service related. So we'll hammer through that today, get your impressions, and then on Tuesday, we'll bring a title officer or a couple of title officers to come in and talk about title reports, what that research will do for us and how to ask the right questions from either from us or from the public. We will put out an FAQ with every inquiry so that they know or application to understand the questions that they need to ask if they're going to do it themselves.
So, okay.
We'll go from there. I'll turn the time over to Carl for the moment.
Perfect. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the commission, Carl Anderson for the record. So as Jay indicated, I'm just going to talk through kind of what our current process is, how we process parcel inquiry applications, and what our types of questions we're getting with those applications and what our path forward is that we've identified. I've got a space at the end for questions, and we can follow up at those future meetings with the board, should you so desire.
Okay.
So the title here is Parcel Research Inquiry and Process Change. So parcel research / inquiry is how this item is listed currently in our fee schedule. I've illustrated it this way because it does show that a lot of that consideration when this process was put into place is that staff is doing a lot of that research and inquiry. So I just kind of wanted to have that in the commission's mind as we walk through this. So again, just quick overview, current process, examples of some of the questions we're getting in our path moving forward. So just as a background on our process, our current application is a parcel inquiry application. It comes with two types of questions. So one is property-specific zoning inquiry. So what are our setbacks? Examples of that might be, what are our setbacks? What's the zoning of my property? Is it in the floodplain? And the list goes on from there. And then we have things that we're kind of categorizing as status of entitlement questions. So is a building permit available? Is a land division available? How many splits do I have? And so on and so forth. So we've really got two separate categories, and comparing them is a little bit apples and oranges, and sometimes even within it can be apples and oranges. And then the service provided therein is staff's primarily doing the research. On occasion, we may reach out to an application to get more if we're kind of running into a place where we need more information to process their request. And then staff's providing that code analysis and interpretation as well. More recently, we have been sending it to one of the county's contract surveyors. They've either got their surveyor or one of their planners looking at those to provide a second set of eyes if we need to. That's a process that we anticipate we will continue doing as needed. However, we're handling that, we believe, through our fee schedule update.
Can I have a question answered?
Yes.
You refer to a surveyor and you're using the word code analysis. Why is suddenly a surveyor doing attorney level opinions? Have we written it down different than what I'm reading it in?
Mr. Chairman, I think the answer to that is what we ask the our contract surveyor to provide us is we'll send him the deed and go, okay, tell us what this deed really means. What does it describe?
Okay.
Because a lot of times they'll have, you know, parcel one, or it'll have the description will have lots 6, 7, 8 of block one, some
right.
old 1910 subdivision and lots this and this. And is that really two parcels or is it one parcel?
Right.
Depending on how that deed describes it. So we're asking for an interpretation of that deed so that then we can decide whether then our staff can look at the code and go, okay, then that's one original parcel or that's two original parcels. That's what we ask the surveyor to do. It's not attorney level work at that point. It is his ballywick. He's the one that writes deeds. He can interpret deeds from a textual standpoint.
Mr. Chair, members of the commission as well. That's on a case-by-case basis when staff does need further clarification or another set of eyes on those. And I hope through the rest of our presentation here we may be able to answer your question further, and if not, we can certainly take another stab at your question, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
So I've included our application form up here. This is our current parcel inquiry application. Those two categories of questions that I was previously illustrating, we've got up here under general information and status of entitlement. So again, these are kind of these two separate categories of inquiries that we get for our customer service that we're getting on this one application form.
Okay.
So going through this, we're calling them type one and type two type questions for the commission. So general information, I've taken these questions from some of our front desk planner inquiry forms. A member of the public comes in, they fill out their form for a planner to respond to. It gives us a chance to evaluate what type of question we're responding to before we go up to the front desk and see what type of research we might need to do. I've copied a few of these in here. I've tried to remove identifiers and correct some spelling or grammatical errors, but just as some examples. So these can be anywhere. I'm not going to go and read this whole list for you, but these could be things looking at doing a possible wedding venue. So for something like that, we're going to be looking at what type of zoning are we talking about? How many people? What's the scale of this wedding venue? There's going to be a lot of follow-up questions the staff would need to be asking to provide a thorough response on something like this. And then it may be, okay, here's your process, and what does that look like? One illustration of kind of how that works in our process in planning division, if you'll recall on Tuesday, interim director Gibbons provided the exhibit of our process. On the left-hand side column there is kind of where we're at in this process on what's the path that a potential applicant may need to go through. So these are the types of questions that we're answering through here. So I'll read just one more. So potentially interested in purchasing a property in the floodway, what could happen with the property? So that tells us that we know who needs to be responding to the member of the public and what types of questions they need, but they're going to need to look at the parcel and do some research and give them a thorough response to that. The type two here that we have is status of entitlements. So this could be anything like, would like to find out how many times the properties have been split and do they have the option of being split again? Right, so that's when we really start looking at that original parcel, how many splits have been taken, and so on and so forth. And the questions are kind of go on from there, but similarly, can the property be split? Have buyers looking to purchase this parcel? They would like to split it and give it to their kids for each to have a homestead. Is this possible? Right, so as individuals are starting to think about what they can do with their properties, or potential buyers are thinking about what they could do with a property if they acquired it, what could I do with this in the future? And so trying to get an idea of that as part of that due diligence moving forward. So these are the types of questions that we often see on our parcel inquiries when we're talking the second category, status of entitlements. And I realize that I have said parcel inquiry more than twice.
I'm nervous.
I apologize. but just want to illustrate that we do see a lot of different types of questions coming through here. So there's even just their interpretation from our point of view is, okay, what are we trying to answer and what are we trying to get to? So moving forward, and where our planning division would like to move forward with our parcel, with our inquiries, So change the role and time involvement of staff on these requests. So separate general inquiry questions from those status and entitlement type questions. So separate completely those type one and type two type questions that are coming in. Each would have its own fee and its own form and be its own thing. So research documentation, if you may recall how our parcel inquiry is labeled in our current fee schedule is parcel research / inquiry. Remove that research component from it. So research documentation required by the property owner is to be provided by the property owner. This would be a title report, chain of deeds, survey, and we can talk more about this as we move forward. And I believe on Tuesday, our hope is that some of those services that a title company could provide could be further illustrated. And I'll talk more on that point here in a moment. Staff provides code analysis and interpretation. So once we get all the information that we have that we need to then evaluate, we provide that code analysis and interpretation based on our definitions of original parcel, as discussed earlier. If we need to send it to a surveyor for maybe further mapping of legal descriptions and so forth, or to get a second set of eyes, that's where we would then solicit those services. We would bill the applicant for those services as built into our proposed fee schedule. That is something that also there are some additional next steps that will help with that go hand in hand, which I will touch on here in a moment. And then all property-specific questions will require staff time tracking per inquiry, and I'll touch on that here in a moment as well. That second piece that will...
Can I interrupt for just a
second? Absolutely, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Again, on staff provides code analysis interpretation. I'd be okay if you put in the term that code provides general code analysis and interpretation. One of the complaints that I've run in personally multiple times is, well, staff gave me an interpretation of the code on my property and it's changed during this whole process. And I've asked multiple times, is the question that you provided to DSD staff, was it in writing? Well, no, it was conversational. We have encountered multiple times when things get really intense that we're reminded that we're not attorneys. Neither is DSD staff. And this is my point that I'm trying to make as productively as I can, and I'm not in any way wanting to be derogatory. I do not want our DSD staff to be put in the position that we are representing to the question a code analysis. We are representing as we understand it, the code interpretation, but if you want to have a legal opinion on exactly what the code says to your property, we say you go hire a land use attorney. This is where I'm trying to get us out of the hot seat and still do customer service as best as we can. But somewhere in there, we have to have that nuance that this is a general code interpretation and analysis, but if you really want a legal opinion, this is not one. And if you're going to base investment and you're going to base what you're going to try to do time-wise with your property, then you need to seek legal help.
Mr. Chair, thank you for your comments. Those are productive comments and helpful. Thank you. That's certainly something we could build into that process as well.
Yeah.
That feels like that could be a standard policy language that we can craft to make sure that applicants or members of the public who are submitting these types of requests are aware
right.
that what they are receiving is a general code overview of
yes.
what DSD staff believes. If they've wished to hire a land use attorney, as you said, they may do so to provide further code analysis
right.
if needed.
Chairman, can I follow up on that? So because the board receives comments from the feedback they've received over there, it seems like if a surveyor needs to be put into place to help interpret either the legal description or the entitlements on that, I think people would buy in to the feedback that's given if it was a surveyor who's qualified that's of their choice. So like, maybe I'm just missing or sleeping through part of this, but I didn't know we had a contract surveyor. So to your point, and I'm frustrated a little bit as a commissioner. I don't want Mr. Anderson to be nervous in a meeting because we can't find the right, it's semantics at this point, because it's not the branding of what it is we're doing. It's the operational side of it. So whatever we call it, we're trying to get to, there's a fundamental issue on the legal description on how that land's laid out, and I think Commissioner Brooks probably has the most well-informed position because he spent several hours with people trying to figure out what it is that we're doing, and evidently we're following a policy that doesn't have any basis for merit in it. So for me, I just want to get to a clear understanding, because there's political pressure, there's development pressure, there's, you know, we're targets easy enough without there being this discrepancy in a developing community of what it is we're trying to do with a piece of property that belongs to somebody. And there's a lot of hate and discontent when, you know, toward you, toward us, when it doesn't meet, or there's not an arrow in the quiver for those development rights. So, yeah.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I think that part of the problem, so many arrows get thrown, or darts, knives, at yourselves as well as DSD, is because over the years, we've been so inconsistent with interpretations of our own code that hasn't necessarily changed. Well, parts and pieces have changed through the years, but not the most important ones, apparently. But that lack of consistency is, Carl and I saw it when we walked in the door, and that's what we endeavored from day one to, okay, we've got two PIs that, one that was last year, one was 4 years ago or 10 years ago. They say different things because they were done by different people at different times, different directors, some differently, different boards saw them differently. It just set us up to fail in that regard. And so we've endeavored since we got here to really, okay, this is what we feel is the most consistent way to look at it, for better or for worse. And the way that we've been operating for the last 11 months is with consistency first. And as far as interpretation is concerned, we have recently started to utilize that the county has two contracted engineers. Each of those engineers also is a licensed surveyor, and so they provide both those services for us under the same contract. And they, in their fee schedule, their surveyor fees are called out, and their engineering fees are called out. So they're itemized when we get bills. We've been able to. We don't use them that often, simply because most deeds are pretty. They either changed or they didn't from what we have, the original one in 79, or what was on record in 79, and what they may be the same. Okay, that's easy. That's, you know, there's one parcel, there's two parcels. Sometimes they're sticky, just the way they're written. So we are able to very quickly, we have the county surveyors are responsive. We can get an answer in a day. It's not weeks. And so that's the beauty of that. They are responsive, and we're just asking them for, what's this deed mean? How many parcels are described with this deed? Because then my staff, it's very easy for them to go, okay, I have three parcels. That means that there are this many splits available. Maybe they've taken three already, so now they have another one, or two or whatever. And it's really not, it's not even a, it doesn't even border on legal description or the, you know, a legal interpretation at that point. It's just taking a code that says what it says, for better or for worse, and going forward with it. And you'll always get people that disagree anyways. And some surveyors don't agree with each other, but that happens too. But we pay for one, and so we feel very comfortable with what the information we're getting back from them. They are I hold surveyors, licensed surveyors, in high respect. They never are off the hook for their work. and the surveys that they've accomplished, that, that follows them to the day they die, give up their license. They make a mistake at any one point in time, it, it affects a boatload of people. That's why they are very, very by the book. But so they're a resource and we're utilizing.
And thanks for the clarification. I'm aware that we have the engineering services, but to your point, we don't, I guess, utilize the surveyor portion of that on a frequent basis.
So, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Van Beek, the reason that we have a county surveyor is because during the final plat process, they review the plat drawing itself. The surveyor that prepared that plat, which is just the lines, meets and bounds of each lot and whatever, all those descriptions, that's a survey function, separate from the construction drawings and what have you that have all the improvements that have to be required or to be completed. That's engineering work. But the surveyor reviews a plat for us and signs every final plat on behalf of the county.
And do you, Chairman, may I ask another question? Do you get people that you're working with that disagree with the surveyor's analysis on that?
Yes, not mentioning names, but yes.
Okay.
I have one surveyor that disagrees with one legal description. That really, he wants one more lot than what it, you know, the deed interprets. Otherwise, he interprets it like it's, and it's even semantics at that point.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. So again, as we move forward, that's kind of this first part up here is changing the roles and time involvement of staff and what that looks like as we go through this process. And I'll touch on this more as we move forward in this presentation. The next step to that, though, really is to get into our definition of original parcel. It's planning staff's understanding and opinion that our definition of original parcel is outdated and it's time to update it. We may also look at simplifying and exploring limitation of administrative divisions. This presentation discussion is not prepared to go into those further, but those are additional steps that we will be exploring to simplify this process for things like staff code analysis and interpretation to simplify those things and remove potential ambiguity and improve consistency on those research responses moving forward. So here we've got this section here. This is our that first category, that tier one type question, property-specific zoning questions require staff code analysis. So these are, again, setbacks, zoning, the wedding venue type questions, things like that. The fee on this would be a flat fee. It's a loaded rate, $75 an hour. That's to build in that time to go through the code, provide that response, write up a written response for that case. It allows us to track that as well. In our system, so we can go back and say, oh, okay, work's been done on this property, and I can see what those response was, so we're not recreating
right.
And starting from scratch.
Right.
Current fee, as illustrated prior, is $40. The pros is that $75 loaded rate.
Okay.
I have a draft application here for the board to see. This is that property-specific zoning inquiry. Has some updated disclaimers here at the top. Places for the questions. This is in draft form, but this is what that would look like.
Okay. We're showing it's ready to go.
All right.
Moving forward on those status of entitlement type questions. So this is, again, prior to staff engagement.
Can we go back to that?
Absolutely.
So why do we feel comfortable that it's a flat fee and we're comfortable with that when we know that parcels go from super simple to unbelievably complex? Why does my little retired lady have to pay the difference on the super complex question? Can we have it as a flat fee and above a certain hour number, then you start paying per hour?
We're coming to that.
Okay, good.
Chairman, commissioners, this specific one, zoning inquiry, what are the statistics, what's available as far as what the zoning is? Can I do a wedding venue? We're taking an hour of time, potentially, to write a letter saying, okay, you need to go through the admin process or the hearing process for a conditional use or you know, winery, you're going to create a winery without a tasting room. That's an admin application. We're providing direction as to which hearing administrative application process they need to go on. It's an hour, that's it. They get a letter with direction from us. When it gets complicated, and then you get to two, when those are complicated, we have a different fee structure for that.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair, I pulled up this type one. So these are the types of questions we're talking about when we're talking about these property-specific zoning inquiries. The average really shouldn't be more than an hour. There's potential for the one-offs, but the average really should be 1 hour or even less.
Is this basically so you're telling them what the matrix says?
Here's what the matrix says, and here's your process that you need to go through. And there's potential for those. I've illustrated several other questions. So it's going through the matrix. Here are your setbacks, height requirements, and so on and so forth. Here's the conditional use permit. Here's the criteria you need to meet for that. And a lot of that does build in staff time involved in the questions that we need to provide or to ask the applicants to make sure we understand their project fully enough to provide a thorough response and make sure we're giving them the right response on that.
It's basically more than 20 minutes. 20 minutes, they can come in and get basic information about their property. Under 20 minutes, that's customer service. Once they hit 20 minutes to 1 hour, this application, you get it in writing instead of just over the counter.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. So moving back to when we're talking about status of entitlement type questions, this is that second category. And remember, we're breaking this out in our application.
Right.
So prior to staff engagement, the applicant's expected to provide those deeds, title reports, site plans, and so forth. And I have a draft example of what that could look like, and then I'll show you how that would be illustrated. This is expected to greatly reduce staff time on our process inquiries. It's my understanding that most of those inquiries that we get are related to these type two type questions. So by reducing that research and removing that from staff, that will reduce our staff time. That seems to be, from what I've observed, where most of our time is being spent, is in that research component.
Yeah.
So DSD moving forward will prepare an FAQ for what documents specifically are needed, that title report, lot book report, to produce or explore feasibility of contracting DSD as well. So we could potentially contract with the title company. So there's that quality control there on, okay, here's the question. Here's the questions that need to be asked for this specific property. So there's consistency there and knowing exactly what types of questions and when follow-up is needed. There's kind of two ways we can implement that, and that comes in our implementation on that process. So one would be provide an FAQ that they would take to the title company, here's what I need, or we can contract and explore that as well.
Okay.
So staff code analysis, eligibility, appropriate process, that's still recommended. So that would be similar to that type one. And okay, now we have all this information. We know how many original parcels we have. Here's what your zoning allows for, and here's the process that you need to go through. And providing that general overview on what the code says. And to your point earlier, Mr. Chair, if they need further clarification, they could hire a land use attorney. And either way, as part of this process, one thing of note here is that this isn't going to be required that an applicant go through this process for our application types. They can still apply without this service. And I'll touch on that here in just a moment and provide some more clarification.
Sure.
And actually, it's my next bullet point. So basically, applicants can apply without the staff code analysis, but disclaimers, it could result in the denial if they've submitted the wrong application. The concern here is that just by removing this process and not providing the service at all, we would potentially see an increase in hearing cases and administrative division cases, and potentially without providing that service, they're submitting these cases and using staff time on things that they're not eligible for.
Right.
That we're kicking back. Okay. So if an applicant has these documents, they could still provide, still apply for the whichever application. The intent is to reduce those number of applications that we're getting for maybe the wrong application.
Okay.
So until the new fee schedule is updated, it would still be this our current $40 rate. Once we have that updated fee schedule, it'd be a $150 deposit. So that's 2 hours, a loaded rate. That's the non-refundable deposit. And then we would provide track time through this process. And if we have to engage the county contract surveyor or any other services, we would bill for those as well. That would be expected to be paid prior to the receiving the response. One point of note that I wanted to touch on again, just to clarify, under our current process, we do require that applicants submit a parcel inquiry before they submit their application. That's something that is on our forms that we're requiring currently. We could change that today. Applicants, after receiving their request, even if they agree or disagree with the response provided, can still apply. Here, we're trying to make sure that, again, we're reducing those number of applications that are in the wrong process path. And again, just drawing your attention to the process chart provided on Tuesday. We're on that left-hand column, and we're trying to provide that service on what is the appropriate path. So I have a draft here of note on the fee. It's the $150 fee per parcel. That's still what it was under our parcel inquiry. It's $40 per parcel currently. That would be the deposit. That will be updated to say deposit and illustrate the fees there.
Yeah, that'd be important.
Yes. But I'll draw your attention to required submittal with the document. This will also be updated to illustrate what needs to be provided for that title report.
Okay.
We'd also be requesting a site plan. It does not mean survey at that point, but a hand-drawn site plan of, okay, what is your understanding that we're working with? What are you trying to achieve? Give us some sort of visual representation to work with as well.
Okay.
So next steps, staff would implement our new process, provide an FAQ and update our website, and socialize those changes with the public so there are no surprises, update our fee schedule, update our definition of original parcel in the county's ordinance, and simplify and explore the limitation of administrative division processes within our ordinance.
And those go hand in hand, though.
They do, yeah.
The ordinances don't make any sense to do one without the other.
Right.
And Mr. Chair, if I may, I have my question slide here, but I do also have attached some applications that I pulled from our surrounding municipalities that I believe I've shared with the board prior, but I just want to have them here as well. We're not the first county requiring these things. Ada County, their application fee is $275. You'll see that I've borrowed some of their language here on what they're requiring to be submitted before they provide this service.
So is there a magic that Ada County needs to have 275 and we only need to have 150?
I don't know exactly how their fee schedule is created, Mr. Chair. It may be that it's based on an average. I believe Ada County also has a surveyor on staff, so it may be that they've accounted for their fee as well. There are maybe some other considerations within there. Ours, again, would be for that deposit, and then we'd be tracking time to go through that process as well.
Mr. Chairman, in Ada County, they don't get a ton of those applications because they fixed their original parcel, and their admin split is one.
Okay.
And one only has been one time for 24 years, so they don't see a ton of them, and it hasn't. It was nothing when I was there. It was really a minimal. I mean, the fees have always been similar, but they don't see near the applications in that regard. You get a lot of one-time divisions, but you don't get a whole lot of parcel inquiry kind of applications to the county, because it's pretty good and dry there.
Yeah. Chairman, can I say that back? What I heard you say was that Ada County doesn't base the number of administrative splits on the original parcel size. They just give one, and then you have to go through a subdivision process.
They're still an original, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Van Beek, there's still the original parcel definition of parcel definition, but their admin split is not so many per 40 or
for
original parcels, depending on size or what have you. We have multiples and multiple
ways
to come up with. They have a one-time division. It is a one-time only.
And Chairman, I'm curious. It looks like you have something to say, so I'm waiting. No?
Well, I just experienced frustration that And it could have been good intentions, but over the years, we've made a ridiculous thing, and we're sitting here having to deal with it. And if we have the political capital and willpower, we probably should fix it. But right now, certain parcels are getting treated like super, they've won the lottery, and other parcels are getting treated like no. And it's just, in my personal opinion, is a very unlevel playing field. Again, not saying that a specific board or a specific director did this intentionally, but what we're left with today, if it was an airplane, it wouldn't fly. It just has one thing put on top of another and on top of another. And whatever the intent was, collectively where we're at today, is very frustrating.
Yep, and thank you for your comments. Can I ask another question? So the simplicity of the Ada County model is that if you've taken an administrative split, you're done until you rezone.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Van Beek, and then they go to a subdivision process.
Yeah. And do they have do they even look at a date with specificity?
Yeah, they do.
The origination date in Ada County is like something 1980.
So we're close in that regard.
1985.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I'm not suggesting that we have to go to one-time divisions. That's pretty drastic. What I am saying is we need to clean up the ambiguity in our admin split code itself to clean up however many splits we still allow within reason, but just cleaning it up so it's so much more fair and equitable and across the board.
Yeah.
And easier to interpret for everybody.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the thing to get done.
Yeah, letting me explore those questions. I just want to understand, and I think there's a desire for the public to understand at a 101 level. It shouldn't take, I don't think it should take an attorney, someone getting an attorney involved. I think they should be able to go to our website and look at what's laid out. We're here to serve the public and figure out what can I do. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Bambeek, the code was written by an attorney, but I like to think they used planner speak at least, so we understand what the legal ease of a code is, but it shouldn't be that difficult.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. I'll run through these last couple really quick here. And as a point of clarification, just for the record, as far as how Ada County determined their 275, my response really is best guess. I don't know fully how they've determined that, just to clarify for the record. I've got Blaine County, their land use and building services request for parcel determination. Also here, they've got a two-page application and then kind of an FAQ. Provided. I'll run through it pretty quick, but just to draw your attention, they're currently charging $175 under their resolution. I pulled this off their website earlier this summer, assuming there have been no changes. But we've got information listed here, kind of what they're looking back. Their date's April 14th, 1977. And they're requiring the same type of information, so deeds transferring back to that date to be submitted with their application. Their FAQ they've got here provides their definition and some additional information. So when is it appropriate to request a parcel determination, some other information.
Perfect. Yeah, that's good.
And then I actually pulled Gem County's. So their fee is a bit lower. It's $45 per letter. But of note here is what specific information are you requesting? And then this checkbox at the very end is attach a copy of all recorded property deeds or other instruments of conveyance. That's the research. That's the research component that members of the public are providing, in my understanding, providing with these requests. And that's how we're modifying our application. We're just requiring that this come in the form of at least a law book report and providing that information as what types of questions need to be asked to get us that information.
Mr. Chairman, part of the reason that we just don't go simple in that is we've talked to our assessor and our recorder, and we are trying to find a process that does not send every potential property owner to their office to search their records for all the deeds. go get them from somebody that's adept at that. So that's where title reports came from.
Mr. Chair, members of the commission, that does conclude my presentation and talk through this kind of where DSD's proposal is. Just try to summarize what it currently looks like and how we're trying to provide this service and separate these questions. Again, we're comparing a little bit of apples and oranges, and we want to provide this service moving forward so we can continue providing that response to applicants as they're identifying what path is best appropriate. This is where we're landing, I think, at what we think is the best path forward, as Interim Director Gibbons indicated. Next Tuesday, we're anticipated to have a title officer. I don't know their exact title. We'll be here to speak with the board next week to provide some further illustrations on what that service does and does not provide and what types of responses are and are not appropriate. Happy to answer any questions that the commission may have.
I just want to say thank you for the presentation. It was easy to follow. It was bulleted. There's a direction that we're going. I appreciate that. It's professional, and people listening to this should be able to see that there's, you know, a path with a light on it. Thank you.
Jen, do you have this PDF?
No. We will get
it. We'll need to have the PDF for the record.
Perfect. Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, that pretty much sums up what we wanted to talk to you about today. I want to reiterate for all the steps that we've talked about, items that we're going to bring to you in the next couple, 3 weeks. We're coming to you with solutions. I'm not going to come and ask you, how do you feel about this? Because we've already done that. We've already broached all these topics, and we've gotten your input. We're going to come back with solutions, ordinance as well, so that then you can look at the ordinance and go, yep, let's do that.
Right.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Great.
All right. We appreciate it.
All right. See, there's 12 more minutes.
12 more minutes of our lives. Woohoo. All right. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
You okay to adjourn?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's be in adjournment. Thanks.